Oh, LSU just added, breaking news, a new coach to their defensive staff. Lance Guidry comes in from Miami. Spent quite a bit of time from Louisiana. He is from the state of Louisiana, the Pelican State, and he's coming home to hopefully bring a steady force to an LSU defense that, quite frankly, wasn't all that good. Now, there's a lot of different reasons as to why they were not that good last season, and we'll get into all of those. But the bottom line, if TLDR, if you all want to listen to the beginning here, is this was a massive must-needed move for LSU. So Bob Diaco left to go be the new linebackers coach at North Carolina, and you lost a guy that's been a head coach, who's called plays defensively before, and did a lot of different things for your staff, and you replace him with someone that has about as much experience as he does, in particular coaching defense and calling plays. Now, obviously, people are not going to like this move from the simple fact that the Miami defense last year was ass. And in many ways, a lot of Miami fans that I speak to and I'm friends with, shout out Leon, who's a big supporter of what we do here, they did not like Lance last year because what a season for Miami offensively, but defensively, they were terrible. And they won a lot of games because Cam Ward was really that guy. So how you feel about 2023 LSU, there are quite a few Miami fans that feel the same way about the 2024 Hurricanes, right? They had Cam Ward, they had Arroyo at tight end, they had Blake Martinez at running back. Restrepo is one of the best receivers in Hurricane history. And it was all for naught because their defense was terrible. And it wasn't just that. The Miami offense really had to come back and win some ridiculously high-scoring games. So the bottom line is this was a very, very, very nice move by Brian Kelly and his staff. And I am really excited to see him join this room. And it wasn't too long ago where this guy was legit being rumored to be the actual defensive coordinator at LSU because of his Louisiana ties. So I'm excited about this. Hopefully this adds some gusto, some creativity, and someone that is an extra voice in that LSU defensive room. Because while we do have a good defensive staff, and I do believe that, and we do spend quite a bit for our defensive staff, we don't really have a whole lot of play-calling experience on that defensive staff, right? Bo Davis has always been basically a position coach. Kevin Peoples, basically the same. And the same could be said about Corey Raymond. And, of course, you know, Jake Olson is very, very, very young. Now, of course, this broke while I was on AYS. But I want to dive a little bit deeper. And obviously, you know, I won't do the deepest dive on Lance here because he's not being hired to be any type of position coach. We'll go through his resume right here. You're seeing it on the screen right now. And if you're listening via iTunes, Spotify, please snap on that 5-star review. So one thing that's very interesting about Lance is, yes, he's been a head coach before, but most of his experience is as a defensive coordinator. Multiple stops, obviously, with Southeastern, or excuse me, with McNeese in particular, but you know, a stop with Southeastern as well as their defensive coordinator, and then just slowly started moving up the ranks. Now, one thing of note is he doesn't have a whole lot of P4 experience. In fact, you know, his only P4 experience was recently here at Miami, but his first year at Miami in 2023 was okay. 2024, obviously, as we just mentioned, wasn't great. So it's something. Now, we get our first super chat of the evening. It comes in from Julie. I appreciate you so much, Julie. So why are we excited about him coming in if he wasn't that good at Miami? Maybe he's lost his edge. And doesn't Blake Baker call the defensive plays? Yes, so this is a good super chat. Why are we excited about this at all? He's just coming in to basically be an analyst. Well, yeah, I understand that, Julie. But that was just 1 year at Miami. Has he just been terrible as a defensive coordinator? No. Marshall's defense was very good under Lance. And look, he has a lot of coaching experience. He wasn't given really anything, right? Obviously, having to work his way up to high school ranks, up to college, back to high school, back into college, and now here. So, you know, it is just breaking news. It's not like he's going to have some unfreaking believably huge role on LSU staff. But the way I understand it is Brian Kelly wants more experience in his staff. Okay. He just does. And that play calling experience is going to be helpful when it comes to game planning and helping out Blake Baker, who, let's be honest, is still very young. Right. So Lance Guidry comes in. He is 53. Obviously, Blake Baker, roughly 10 years his prior. I think it's good. I really, really, really do think it's good. I've enjoyed watching Lance's defenses, but to Julie's point, they were terrible last year. They were just downright terrible defensively, and it did cost them the college football playoff, right? The Syracuse game plan was not great, to say the least. But how much of that is him? How much of that is the talent? It is what it is, but he's not actually calling the plays. So I like the fact that someone else is in that room that's had play calling experience, okay? Now, excuse me. Let's go to TJ. Am I hearing the potential future defensive coordinator in waiting for when Blake Baker eventually becomes a head coach? So I get asked a lot, not only by viewers, but people in the industry, whether it be media, whether it be other coaches, because I've always been attached to Blake Baker for the story that I broke when Matt House was fired. I didn't break any story, but it is what it is. Won't go through all that again. I don't know Blake Baker. Okay. I don't. All right. So I get asked about him a lot. That's perfectly fine. I've been a big fan of his for quite some time now. And I do think he is a good DC, even though our results weren't all that great this year. But I get asked a lot about the head coaching thing. Is Blake Baker eventually going to become a head coach? And many would like to think that he will. All right. And it's not just because, you know, he's a talented coach himself, but they do believe in his affability, right? They do like some of the things that he does, right? There is a little bit of like a Shane Beamer young guy quality where he just seems like the type of guy that can go out there and fundraise. He's the type of guy that does relate really well with his players. You know, he's a really good social media coach. You know, when you watch his mic'd up, you see a lot of energy. And to me, before the season even began, you know, I had players telling me, hey, it's just a completely different world with Blake Baker and how much people like him and believe in him compared to Matt House. So, is there a world where Blake Baker is a head coach going into next year? Yeah, there is a very possible world where that is the case. Where I would push back, though, is where would Blake Baker go that is better than his current job right now? All right. So take a look at what has happened over the past week. This was a big story, and it's been the biggest story of the college football offseason. Jim Knowles, the Ohio State defensive coordinator, was hired by Ohio State's number two rival, Penn State, for $3.1 million a year. That is an unreal amount of money. $3.1 million a year to a defensive coordinator is a lot. It is so, so, so much. I like Jim Knowles. I don't know if I love him that much, especially in a national championship year where he had multiple year four or five stars come back and adding Caleb Downs to the portal. How many defensive coordinators are going to look good with that? I would say 9 out of every 10 would have looked good with what Ohio State had. But I say all of that because it took Penn State having to overpay and weaken a rival that's actually won a natty to actually have a defensive coordinator that makes more annual money than Blake Baker. That's how good of a job Blake Baker has. We paid him the $2.3 million per season to come in and actually just coach football and be the coordinator. I just don't know if there are many head coaching jobs out there, if any at all, that would make me as Blake Baker say, I want to go there. It would need to be a P4 job in the SEC, Big Ten, or one of the better ACC or Big 12 jobs, where your pay would go from 2.3 to 2.5 million, whatever that number actually is at LSU, to, you know, on the lower end, Power 4 job, 5 to 6 million a year. So I just don't see a world. Now, if our defense is elite, then, yeah, he's going to get poached and be given a job. But it's not going to be for Appalachian State. Now, why do I use Appalachian State? Well, the most underrated coordinator in the SEC last year was Dow Loggins. Dow Loggins was the offensive coordinator at South Carolina. Appalachian State decided to give him a job. That's not going to be Blake Baker. Unless he's just ass. If the defense is just ass next year, then he might be needing to take a P4 head coaching job. But are there people that think highly of Blake Baker as a head coach? Yeah. Was there some real, and I mean real, love for Blake Baker even before the season started as a potential head coach? Yeah. What about what we were hearing about Tulane? No. I don't think Blake Baker's going anywhere, y'all. I don't. It is such a good job. But let's talk to the Franco Nation. Christopher on Facebook. Big Dex! Intro Dex, let's go. And the Master Blaster. Good to see all of you. As we are one day closer to LSU baseball season. And we are one day closer to Kim Mulkey winning her next national championship. All right. So let's get into the next story. Obviously, the spring game date is set. And, well, let's be honest. How many of you are still excited about spring games in general? Some of you just don't care about it. I've had so many of you text, say, hey, Carter, I don't even know if I like the spring game anymore. But April 12th will be the date of the spring game. Now, some people have made a mockery out of the spring game. Some have just outright canceled it. Obviously, last year, Lane Kiffin had a slam dunk contest for a spring game. At a football game. Slam dunk contest. April 12th. So that means spring ball will probably start late February, which is about where it normally is. So April 12th, spring game is set. All right. I do not know if I'm going this year. Obviously, last year, Dex and I went. We shot a lot of content. It's in the opening video montage. Not really that big a deal. Look, the spring game last year was misleading. Was it not? After a spring game, all of us were like, man, Caleb Jackson is going to be that guy. I don't know if I'm going this year, though. The one thing, though, as far as spring is concerned, the position group that I am most excited to see is tight end. And the reason I say that is because we don't have a tight ends coach yet. I do think, wink, wink, nod, nod, LSU has a few people in mind. But I'm not sure if we're close. I've tried to figure out if we're close. It might pop tomorrow. I might just be getting bad info. I hope it pops tomorrow. I hope I'm wrong. But we are methodical. at times with our coaching decisions, and that's okay. But whoever the tight ends coach is going to be, whoever is going to step up a tight end, that is a position group I'm most excited to watch, because the Senior Bowl did happen today, and Mason Taylor dominated. Everybody's loving what they see from Mason Taylor. What I would also say, and I think this is important, the LSU offensive lineman at the Senior Bowl today had a rough day. They just did. Okay, I watched the clips. It's not the be-all, end-all. But I also spoke to Boots on the Ground in Mobile, and it was tough. Now, where I would push back a little bit on the tough day is that this defensive line class is really freaking good. It's really deep. All right, there are more defensive linemen in Mike Renner's top 150 than any other position group. I think he has 16 defensive linemen in his top 100. Okay. So I'm not taking too much away from the Senior Bowl, but I wanted to point out that Mason Taylor, even though he holds all the tight end records and, you know, has a famous father, famous family, I still think he's underrated. And it's not just because he was good. It's that he didn't have a choice but to be good. Because if he wasn't in our tight ends room, we would be in a lot of trouble right now, right? The Kamari Pipton thing did not work out. The Mac Markway thing did not work out. These were top 150 four-star tight ends. Did not work out for whatever reason. And that was just over the last two seasons. We're not including that Mason Taylor is a three-star true freshman fall enrollee who basically played every snap from day one all the way up until the last day at an extremely complex position. So tight end to me is a big one. And I'll keep hammering this point. Donovan Green is interesting. All right, he is very, very interesting. And I'll leave it at that. Okay. Slander says, I'm more interested in the practices and the news that come from it. Yeah. You know, one thing I would like LSU to do is, you know, you bring in Lance Guidry, who has a lot of play calling experience. And to finish up TJ Super Chat, could I see a world where he is the LSU defense coordinator at some point? Yeah. Yeah, I could. Very well could. Okay. But we'll see. Now, you guys know, I talk about the PHL Patreon all the time. You can ask TJ. You can ask anyone that's in here that's a part of the Patreon. Julie, Jared, they will tell you that the extra studies done on Patreon, if you love our analysis, if you love my point of view on LSU football, we dive a little bit deeper. All right. Sign up today for Patreon. You get a $9.99. I'll cover your first month if you sign up from this live stream. And I'll send you a Joe Burrow card in the mail. So you get a free first month. If you don't like it, you can go elsewhere. Okay, you're getting it for free. And you're getting a Joe Burrow card. Sign up now. The link is down below. And in this Patreon deep dive, we took a look at returning production. Now, returning production is misleading because it's hard to account for the transfer portal. Monsieur Delane is a very productive corner. But he's not necessarily returning production to LSU, but it is returning production. It's not nothing, him coming over. All right. So how do we account for that? How do we calibrate that? We took a deep dive on returning production on Patreon. Go sign up today. 7-minute deep dive, and it won't take up too much of your time. Okay. Ask TJ. Definitely worth the investment. All right. Give the man a like. There you go, Michael. I appreciate it. Akeem, there you go. Let's see. Oh, y'all. This is former PHL. Oh, he didn't jump on the channel. We've hung out with this guy, though. This is Tip. T.I.P. Thank you so much for Paper Trail. Now, you are from Atlanta. I think you would have been a Braves fan. But a Phillies fan? Really? Let's go to Graham. What position do I think Harold Perkins will play? Because I heard some people say that they want him at end. All right. So we're talking about the Senior Bowl a minute ago. All right. You know the one thing that people look at more than anything else at the Senior Bowl? And it's going to sound so weird. All right, so
kind of like what was mentioned a minute ago. I think it was Slander Pop. I don't care too much about the game. It's the same thing for the Senior Bowl. People care about the practices. That's what they care about. All right. But a lot of people fly to the Senior Bowl to just see what an athlete looks like in person. That's what they want to do. They want to see how they fill out in pads. They do interviews. They do all those different things. But the most important data point that they take from the Senior Bowl are your measurables. All right. Why is that? Because that is hard empirical data. All right. So what they do with your measurables, they obviously measure hand size, wingspan, all those different things. There's also a guy in the media. His name is Math Bomb. All right. He has a model called the RAS model. It's the relative athletic score. And what that model does is it takes your 40-yard dash time. It takes your arm length, weight, all those different things. It puts it into a formula, and it tells you how athletic you are. And the most athletic LSU football players that have ever gone in the NFL draft cycle are Patrick Peterson, Brian Thomas Jr., and DJ Chark. I think those were the top three. All right. So I say all of that because if Harold Perkins was to play end and he were to be labeled a defensive end at the next level, he would be in the lowest percentile in terms of height and weight and probably arm length. So what does that mean? Well, his best position might just be end. That's what he did as a true freshman, and was he best pass rusher outside of Will Anderson as a true freshman? But you can make a case he was better towards the end of that season. And now you're trying to figure out what's next. Is it just best to stick him at end? Or is he an off-ball linebacker? Or is he a hybrid player? Is his best position even on the defensive side of the football? Okay. But size does matter. Whether you hear that in the SEC or on Brazzers, it doesn't matter. They tell you size matters. Okay? And look, I had a long debate with Blake Ruffino earlier tonight about Harlan Berry. All right, I've gotten some pushback for some of my Harlan Berry analysis. Is that I do think he's a prodigious talent, but he's not the biggest guy. He's not small. But on the weight side, he's lighter. Now, whether it's Harold Perkins or Harlan Berry, they're five-star recruits for a reason. Okay, they're prodigiously good with the football in their hands, or they're prodigiously good playmakers. So it doesn't matter that they aren't the absolute biggest guy in the world. That's perfectly fine. But what happened towards the end of the true freshman season with Harold Perkins? Well, we started going up against teams that have more than four and five-star recruits, Texas A&M being one of them, and Georgia being the other, and they ran right at him with a lot of success, okay? Then we're like, okay, well, he's not an every-down end. So you have to factor all of that in. You do. And then the next thing, obviously, is what does Harold Perkins buy in to this process? That's going to be so key. Is he going to be fully bought in to understanding that he had one ridiculously good true freshman season? And over the past couple of seasons, he was very hot and cold, right? You had the Missouri game, obviously in 2023. We don't win that game without him. And then you have games like UCLA last year where he had the injury. But before the injury, he was really struggling in that game. So a lot of that is going to be something called self-scouting, right? Not only do the coaches have to self-scout him, Harold Perkins has to self-scout him, not only from, you know, a football standpoint, but also a mindset standpoint. But look, as far as Harlan Berry is concerned, there was something interesting that Blake shared, and I will share it as well. It actually was some information that kind of confirmed an opinion I had about him, and we will share that coming up. Now, y'all, I cannot state this enough. If you're interested in taking your party to the next level, take a look at a tour of the best 360 spin booth you will ever see.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I got to show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. Dental health is wealth, and our friends at Sequoia Dental are looking to help you feel like a more confident person. Dr. William Wilson and his team of experts do everything in their power to make this experience for you not only comfortable, but fun. Yes, take a look at this after and before photo. That guy definitely got himself a date thanks to Sequoia Dental. From teeth whitening to cosmetic surgery to, guess what, Botox. Yes, they do Botox. Call my friend Dr. William Wilson today, or just go book your appointment at sequoiadental.com. So, Harlan Berry, per Blake Ruffino, he got some info that said they're not sure if he's not the best route runner on this team. All right, so this was my comp after watching Harlan Berry. So, watching his 7-on-7 reps, talking to some people that know him and have watched so many of his high school games, he is so freaking good as a receiver. Okay. Now, I know this is kind of a sore subject, but he and Bryce Underwood would run some 7-on-7 sessions. All right. Harlan Berry is so damn fluid as a receiver, and his athletic profile becomes a lot better if he's a receiver instead of a running back. And y'all, he's so freaking fluid. It's knife cutting through butter. Like, it really is that great. It's just, you know, it kind of backs up my eval on him. You know, when I watched him, I was like, okay. You know, he gets compared to Reggie Bush all the time. I would hold off on that. But it reminds me a lot of Shady McCoy, who wasn't, like, so unfreaking believably far off from Reggie Bush in college. I know it sounds crazy, but we owe LeSean McCoy a national championship ring. And that's not a bad thing. I could see him being that type of running back. And on top of that, he's got this superstar personality. He's got this this affability about him that makes you really excited. So there you go. A 360 spin booth dance off. Yeah, I'm down. Someone who was, I think it was Justin, sent me a video of my face on Walker Howard's body for that. Jamal Charles. But look, Chris Johnson wasn't that big. Jahmyr Gibbs wasn't that big. So if he's that, and it's a little bit different, we'll see. Can I think of a NFL player comp for Harold Perkins? You know, his body type is actually like very similar to that of Jamal Adams, but it's pretty clear that he's not a safety. But obviously, if he was bigger, it would be like TJ Watt, hopefully. But that's just not it. The Franco Nation says he doesn't recommend Brazzers. Now, how would you know? Y'all don't Google Brazzers. I shouldn't have made that joke. If Brazzers starts getting a lot of traffic because of PHL, because we know they need the help. Isaiah Simmons, it's interesting. Larry, good to see you. We'll talk some Lane Skidry coming up in a second. Joining the defensive staff. So there you go. Shorty, what's up, man? Good to see you. Now, next thing, let's pull out this handy-dandy prep sheet. I'll touch on this. You know, I previewed the Patreon deep dive on returning production. All right? Now, here's the thing with all analysis that is taking a look at the whole. So, you guys hear me talk a lot about my buddy, J. Bud Davis. He's a Florida Gator fan, but he's just a very good analytic account. And he does a really good job of sending out information on the whole of your operation. Guys like Bill Connolly do a really good job of doing returning production metrics. For this returning production thing that we did for Patreon, we used an account called Dog Stats. He's a Georgia Bulldogs account, but this is just raw numbers. So there's no like Georgia bias, and Georgia's not really a rival of ours anyway. So he has no reason to lie about LSU. We return a lot of production. Now, that doesn't sound correct as far as returning production, but we used the Montsor Delaney example earlier. We don't really have a good way of measuring returning production when it comes to transfer portal talent. Okay? We just don't. But I think one thing that will be overrated moving forward in college football is continuity. Now, why do I say that? Well, continuity, we think of in football as a very good thing, right? Basically, continuity is how many guys are you returning that play together? How many reps do they have together? How much do they know each other? When you think of that, when it comes to continuity, right? Of course, Ohio State had a lot of continuity, in particular on the defensive side of the football. But they also just had the best dudes. And they're also really good at the coaching spots, Jim Knowles and, of course, Chip Kelly. I believe that continuity is important from like one year to the next, but bad continuity doesn't mean jack squat. One year to the next of bad players doesn't mean anything. They don't oftentimes just magically become better. It's just rare. Now, do some players take leaps forward? Sure. Like Savion Jones, for instance, this season. But I think part of why I think continuity is going to be overrated is because players are already accustomed to going from one school to the next. Transferring is so common. And guess what else is happening? Transferring is happening quite a bit at the high school level. And players are already so accustomed to coaches going from one step, one job to the next. So it's just a little bit more welcome, right? One coach going this place and one player going this place or that place. And then one other thing is 7-on-7. 7-on-7 is so big now. Camps and camp culture is so big now. So that means you're running a lot of routes with different quarterbacks and receivers and offenses and so on and so on. So, you know, I do think when it comes to like returning production, I just don't know how important or how important it's ever been having players return from one year to the next, unless those players are actually good. So give me your thoughts on that. Obviously, I know a lot of you have a lot of different opinions about that. I do think it's overvalued. I really do. Can you play? It is oftentimes what it's going to come down to. Okay? Is McNeese the cradle of coaches in South Louisiana? What do you mean by that? I'm curious. I like McNeese, though. Graham says a Christian McCaffrey type of build. Now, if he's that good, then that's pretty big. Dante, let's go, bro. Dante's in this thing. Now, here's what we're going to do. Next 10 to 15 minutes, we're going to answer as many as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going. One thing I thought that was interesting, I saw this John Eads posted this earlier today. You know, I don't watch as much LSU baseball as like a Chance does and a few others in here. I think Tony the Tiger watches every pitch of every game as well. LSU baseball has some new dimensions to their ballpark. So there's a bigger bullpen down that left field line. Going to take some getting used to. So really excited about LSU baseball. Really excited about learning more about the team. I'll tell you this, man. I can listen to freaking Jay Johnson give press conferences all day long. I'm serious. I mean, the guy just gives such a good presser. I'm also excited, and it is really, really, really good for recruiting, that Paul Skeens has the biggest baseball card in existence. And on top of that, he gets on the front cover of MLB The Show. So let's go, Paul Skeens. Pretty excited about that. Let me see. There was something else I wanted to talk about when it comes to LSU baseball. I didn't write this down. I think it was the lineup music. I thought I had that highlighted here. Let me see. No, I don't have it. At all the line, we'll do it on tomorrow's show. All the lineups with the songs. Let's go to Sibley. Yeah, there's a lot of transition in high school. A lot of good coaches have come from McNeese. Sure. Who would you say is the best? Jared's ready for spring football. There was this came in from Chris earlier today. He said, Carter, I look forward to your spring football breakdowns every year. Okay. I'm going to bring it the best I can. Oh, yeah, Joe Dumars. As a general manager, go Pistons. He was a kind of good basketball player, too. Kind of good. Star Presley in here? Let's go, baby. Man, love it. Actually, I'm going to reveal this some other time. But I still don't know if I'm going to send this to Jared or not. I still don't know. Also pulled this last week. This is a guy that everybody's talking about at the Senior Bowl. Literally, everybody's talking about this guy. All right. Jackson Dart. I didn't buy the card. I pulled it out of a pack. Are people really believing Jackson Dart is an NFL QB?
I don't know.
You tell me. Now, I'm going to come down for the Senior Bowl. I plan on going next year. Because more than likely, Garrett Nussmeier is going to be there next year. Unless he is the number one overall pick, then he's not going to go. Okay? Jacob Myers is going to be a good pitcher this year. I think I actually called one of his games last year for Nichols. Pumped up about that. Man. Trades Green slam dunk was crazy. You guys have seen that by now. Can he block? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I don't get it. I think part of why Jackson Dart is getting steamed up so much is because this is such an uninspiring NFL quarterback draft cycle. And there's so many people out there that believe, hey, we can Bo Nix him. Put him with a good coach like Bo Nix did with Sean Payton. With good receivers and a good ecosystem. Shout out Jamar Cain. You'll be good. I just don't know how that's going to work. I just don't.
The star, man. Preacher Presley. Let's go. And I don't think he's better off. I don't think he's fast enough to be a tight end. But I will say, do I think Jackson Dart is a spot starter in the NFL? Yeah. I think he's a good QB, too. I just don't know if I would have him as a QB1. For me right now, and I don't like to sit with consensus, but I have Cam Ward slightly ahead of Shedeur Sanders. I do. I do think one spot – that will be very fascinating is the Miami Dolphins for quarterbacks. What's the one way you can get out of or play with Tua on the bench is if you get a good quarterback for cheap. And they had the worst backup quarterback situation in all the NFL last year. So, you know, I could, if Jackson Art went to Miami, he would fit pretty well with what they have there. But yes, Mason Taylor was
unbelievable
today at the Spring Bowl, Senior Bowl. Also, I want to ask my viewers, what's it like knowing that Joe Burrow is the only quarterback that could beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs? He's the only one. Why can't we just come to that conclusion? Unless the Bengals play the Chiefs, nobody's beating that guy. Even though Josh Allen was phenomenal. It is what it is. Okay? Let's see, we'll take a few more here. Now, Jackson Dart at the fifth round would be very interesting.
Let's go here. TJ says, thoughts on Joe Brady saying nah to coming back to New Orleans?
All right.
No.
If you take Sean Payton out of the equation, the city of New Orleans has been plagued by bad coaches. It's crazy. Like, we cannot get a good coach right with the Pelicans, can't get a good coach for the Saints.
And the thing that's troubling, TJ, is there's only 32 of these jobs. This is the most precious resource in all of coaching. All right? Like it is in the NBA and in the MLB. But football coaches have so much more power than the coaches in those sports. They have so much more sway on the outcome of the game. Okay?
And this, many people are saying no. Mike McCarthy is like, I'm good. Joe Brady, ties here. I'll stick with Josh Allen. Cliff Kingsbury, I'm good on the Saints. What?
You're talking about the New Orleans Saints.
City of New Orleans, every year. One of the top five rated NFL markets in the country.
A city that has a lot of different reasons to not like the National Football League. One of the most loyal supporting fan bases. Why don't they want to come to the Saints? Is it the cap situation? Is it the quarterback situation? Can't be because of the division. NFC South is every year very winnable. NFC is easier than the AFC. You're one QB away. Saints are in a bad ordeal. They're in a bad ordeal. Let's go to Christian. Thanks for serving. Emory Jones left too soon, and now it's going to pay for it, unfortunately. He really should have come back. Yeah, weird season for Emory. in the actual games. So this is kind of a weird thing with Emory Jones because we don't know if he's even a tackle. I always graded Emory Jones as a guard. Right? I always thought he was a guard. That's where I think he should play at the next level. Tough day at the Senior Bowl for all three of the LSU offensive linemen there. Tough day. Okay? But should he have come back? Y'all, I get him wanting to go, especially if he thought he was a second-round pick. And obviously you want to get to the NFL as soon as you can so he can get to that second contract. You know, it's tough. I can say, though, LSU did what they could to bring him back. They tried. All right? It did not go without a fight. They tried to get him back. But, now he was ready. You know, Will Campbell's his best buddy, so he was like, yeah, I'm going to go to the pros, too. Precious says, Joe Brady is not ready to be a head coach in the NFL right now. Here's one thing I think about Joe Brady. Let's just say the Bills offense is good yet again next season. More than likely, they will be. Sean McDermott gets fired. Let's say the Bills are struggling some next season. Joe Brady's probably the interim coach. Probably. Another thing that's interesting as far as Brady is concerned is he has mostly been in the booth for his career, right? So, you know, it's you do have to worry, hey, he's been in the booth for so long. Can he actually coach on the sideline? Obviously, it's not that big a deal if you ask most coaches, but it is something. Let's go to pressure. Again, he says Brady's bad second half play calling cost him the game. What do you say, Jared, about this? I don't know. I don't know. I've gone back and forth on that. Obviously, at the end, not playing James Cook really at all on that final drive and not giving him a touch is kind of weird when he was your best player. Outside of Josh Allen, of course. I'll be honest. I thought his play calling was fine. It's the players did not execute it, and you're going up against the best coaching of all time. There's never been a better coaching staff than the Kansas City Chiefs with Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo. It's just, I don't know if we'll ever see it again. I don't know. Those two guys are so far and away the best defensive and offensive coordinator or play callers in the NFL. It's you've got to play perfect, and you've got to have some breaks. And the Bills didn't have the referee breaks, but they fumbled the ball six times in the game this past weekend, and they recovered all six. So they had the fumble luck. Injury luck didn't go their way either. It's just so freaking hard to beat the Chiefs. It's so freaking hard. Okay. Yeah, Jack Besh did have a good day. I'm cheering for him. You guys know I'm a big Jack Besh fan. Always have been, always will be. Star Presley knows that. And former PHL guest Jack Besh. This comes in from Tommy. Carter, do you see Ahmad Hudson? So I pulled this up. 2027 tight end, the number one tight end in America. Steve Wilfong has already predicted that Ahmad Hudson is going to commit to LSU. Yeah, you know,
I always put a pause on every recruiting thing in this day and age, and you always should have anyway. So there you go. We'll take a few more. If you've not gotten your question in, get it in. Greg Penn, you pulled. Send me a photo, Epic Shorty. I might buy it off of you. I like OGP3. Greg Penn played college football the honorable way. Played 4 years in 4 years. Don't you miss those days instead of year six and year seven of eligibility? You play four, you get 4 years of eligibility, four and out. And we got a few players this year that will do that as well. Mansoor Delane and Jack Pyburn. Hopefully they do it. And they stay healthy for the entire season. So there you go. There we go. Starting three wide receivers next year. Yeah, most teams do start an 11 personnel. The thing is, you don't want to stay there. Wink, wink. Nod, nod. All right, y'all. We'll be back live tomorrow, more than likely at our typical time on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. We'll talk to you soon, okay? It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! Special thanks to Zion Imaging and the 360 Spin Booth Experience. And tonight, we're getting into some rear end, some pork butt. Let's go. Oh, yeah, top super chatters, Star Presley, TJ, and our friend, LA Mom. Let's go.